Hello and welcome to the Arrowhead Pride Playoff Preview Podcast. This is why you watch the Chiefs all year long. It's for the postseason, and this weekend, Saturday evening, Arrowhead Stadium, the Chiefs take on the Tennessee Titans in the wild card round. Sean, the barbershop, how are we feeling?
Hey, man, it's time. You know, it's kind of like, you know, 9 months is coming. You know what I'm saying? It's almost, it's ready to have that baby, man. It's time for that playoff birth. It's time to go out and see who's going to rise to the occasion, man. Playoff football. We play all season long just to see who's going to rise to the top. And the Chiefs have been left standing. They're one of the teams left standing. We hopefully will see them play one of their best performances this coming Saturday.
Joel Thorman, the blog father, not with us today. Really the perfect storm of things happened, some family stuff, some work stuff. So he will be rejoining us hopefully next week for another preview podcast if all goes well this weekend. Again, the Titans 9-7. The game time is Saturday afternoon, 3:25 p.m. Kansas City, Arrowhead Stadium. If you're not going to the game, Sean McDonough, your future enemy, John Gruden, Lisa Salters, and Adam Schefter on the call. General feeling, Sean, heading into this weekend.
First, I
know you're Mr. Positive, but realistically, how are we feeling?
First of all, my positivity is realistic, so let's get that out of the way. But I think this would be a perfect time. It's a Saturday game. Usually, the last time I've seen Arrowhead on a Saturday, it was electric. The fan base, the sea of red comes alive on Saturdays. Like you said, with John Gruden being the almost the defunct new coach of the Raiders, it'll be perfect for him to come see what he's in store for. A little preview to what's coming up next for him when he takes over for the Raiders. Reintroduce him to the Sea of Red, to Arrowhead Stadium, what the kingdom is about. So any chance on a national level that you have to go out there and show how tough a atmosphere it is to play when you come to Arrowhead, I think our fan base should just take all advantage of it. Take advantage of it. Show the country how tough it is to come into Arrowhead Stadium.
We'll get into a little bit more of that Arrowhead Stadium atmosphere in a second, but let's first talk about the latest news when it comes to injuries. Akeem Hunt and DeAnthony Thomas are being placed on the injured reserve, and those are your kick returners. So there's a little bit of void. Dave Tobe had mentioned DeMarcus Robinson. Sharkhandrick West said he would love to use Tyreek Hill there. Should the Chiefs even be considering that?
I don't expect us to be having a bunch of kick returns, because that means that the Titans are scoring a lot if we're doing a bunch of kick returns. So, you know, two returns in the game. I think Robinson can go out there and get it done. Spiller, if he's active, he'll get it done. And most of the time, those are touchbacks anyway. So I see that as a pretty much a non-factor.
That's right. With the IR move, C.J. Spiller back for his fifth time this season.
Fifth go round, baby. Fifth time's a charm.
Fifth time's a charm. We have a couple game storylines for this. The Chiefs begin the quest to get over that playoff hunt, which right now is at 23 years. The last time the Chiefs won a home playoff game in front of that Kansas City crowd. We talked about the atmosphere a little bit already. Here was Andy Reid on the atmosphere he expects on Saturday evening.
We love it. There's nothing like Arrowhead when that place is packed and you know, it's a little cold and that smoke coming out of the, you know, it's great. And then ground's shaking a little bit. Doesn't get any better. You know, it doesn't get any better.
Now, someone in tickets contacted me earlier this week and said the ticket price is a little bit lower than it has been in the past for Arrowhead Stadium. Do you think it's just Chiefs fans getting used to the fact that this is now usually a playoff team?
Yeah, man, I don't look a gift horse in the mouth, so I would thank the Hunt family, thank the Chiefs for keeping the ticket price manageable instead of hiking up the price. You know, all this, what's it called, flex pricing schedules that happen all year long.
For what it's worth, I can't imagine the Titans traveling well. They're just not one of those teams that are notoriously known, like the Steelers, for traveling well. I just think it's interesting that in the secondary market, prices are down.
Well, I'm just saying, you know, don't look at this. Be happy you have an opportunity to go and take a family to four and watch a playoff game for under $500. How about that?
It's great. I mean, it's cheaper than a movie, I'm sure. The Titans won last year. That's another storyline for this game. The Chiefs, if you remember, jumped out to a 14-0 lead. But couldn't finish the job. Ryan Succop hits that last-second field goal, the 19-17 revenge game. Does that matter at all going into this game?
I don't think so. I think Succop had a lot going into it, you know, freshly being cut, signed up by a new team, going against old team, having a chance to really win it on his leg, on his foot. So I know that probably was a great atmosphere, a great, you know, return to Arrowhead for Ryan Succop. But now it's kind of been there, done that. Now it's just two teams. The records, we swipe them clean. 0-0. You need to win three or four games straight in order to win a Super Bowl. And so it's the first game, first week of the postseason. No one's caring about any records, any rankings. Whoever makes the most plays and whoever has the ball last, a lot of times it always comes down to a field goal. And I know we got Harry Butt kicker on our side. They got Ryan Succop. Both guys are more than capable of making game-winning field goals.
You got your old girlfriend coming to play your new girlfriend. And the new girlfriend of Chiefs Kingdom is a little nice number named Harry Butt Kicker. So the Chiefs are, I think, in a lot better shape this year, even than last year, only because they've won their last four. They're playing their best football at the right time. The Titans are in a way, and I understand they won last week, but they're backing their way into the playoffs a little bit because they have been playing their best football. Before they beat the Jaguars last week, they'd lost three in a row. The thing about this week, and I've heard a lot of Chiefs talking about this, is they're saying the playoffs are faster, DJ being one of them. Listen to this.
Well, I'm letting the guys know that this game, if you don't think it gets faster, it gets faster. It's already fast, but it gets faster in the postseason. A lot of things are at stake, a lot of things are on the line, and those little mistakes that you make here and there, they're magnified. Can't make them. Game, it's not going to be perfect, but we need everybody playing at a certain level.
Now, I heard this on the Titans side of the football, too. They say it's different levels. You have the preseason, and, you know, college kids think that that's a little faster than the college game, and then you get into the regular season, that's a little faster, and then the postseason, does it really actually pick up? You've been out there.
I don't think the speed of the game gets any faster. I just think everything is more highlighted. A missed tackle in the postseason is not it is worth twice the amount of mental errors. Or, you know, when you're breaking down film, if you see mental errors and penalties and like I said, missed tackles, drop passes, those things can end your season. During the year, it's kind of, hey, you know, we can coach them up. You know, you hear coaches, hey, we got some things that we've seen on film. We can coach them up. We can get better in certain aspects. It's no more time for that kind of talk.
The room for error.
The room is no room anymore.
It's gone.
It's gone. It's now it's time to put up or shut up. You play your best ball or you go home. So the accountability, I think, is a thing that, you know, players put on themselves, the amount of accountability to their teammates and to get things done, to do their job, to be in the right position on each play, execute your assignment. Those type of things get dialed up a little bit. And so I think it feels like it's going faster, but it's more so just the accountability level gets amped up a little bit.
Good to know. One storyline I wanted to remind the Arrowhead Pride heads out there was the Tom Bahali, because in the offseason, out of nowhere, he came out and said he was really upset that he got 7 snaps in last year's playoff game. Since he's been back with the Chiefs this season, he's been in a limited role. You really don't see him a ton out there. So it wouldn't be apart from the norm to see him get limited snaps in this playoff game. But I bring it up because in the offseason, he's loud, Tamba. But obviously, when he gets back in the building, there are people telling him, you know, not to say anything. Is he hoping to play like 80% of these snaps in this game?
I think he just wants to go out there and do whatever he has to do to win. Tamba is a guy who's very result natured. I mean, whatever the result needs to be, if he plays 10 games, I mean, 10 snaps, and those are 10 snaps that are game changing snaps, third down snaps only, or, you know, whatever, 14 snaps just on third down, and he's able to go in there and get some quarterback pressures, be on the sideline, just like Tom always does, you know, being
almost in an Eric Berry.
Oh my goodness. I mean, he is amazing on the sideline. Whether we are on offense or defense, he is right beside coach, rooting the guys on, telling them, let's get off the field on defense. Hey, offense, let's get a first down. And that type of encouragement from a leader like him, it rings throughout the organization. So it's definitely a difference out there when he's on the sideline and when he's not. And so his value is way beyond what he does actually on the field when it comes to snaps.
See, you know, you're not going to be counting Thomas snaps, but I'm going to be there with my abacus. I'm going to be making sure I see how many snaps that Thomas gets, because 4 months from now, when he goes on a midsummer, you know, Facebook rant, I want to have a hold of this.
Oh, Lord.
I want to have a hold of this. I mean, the only reason I bring it up is because he multiple times this summer was saying the number of snaps. Not me. I didn't make this up. I mean, that's what he was saying. So I'm just curious just to see how much he plays. I think we maybe disagree in that fashion a little bit. Last storyline I want to talk about, and this is kind of just the feeling I'm getting. One thing I do before we do this podcast is I go back and I watch what the Titans have said, you know, in their press conferences. I watch what the Chiefs have said, what everything has been released on the team websites. I read. One thing I've realized, and I kind of mentioned it a little bit earlier, is that this vibe that these two teams have right now, it's just very different. The Titans have not been in the playoffs since 2008. And the sense that I got from the players and watching the videos and even the media questions of those in Tennessee is that they're a little bit happy to be there. You know, they kind of snuck in. They haven't been there in a long time. They've already sort of achieved their goal, which was making the playoffs, because they haven't done it in so long. And the proof is in Brian Arakpo, a 9-year NFL veteran. He tells the media, "I never thought I'd see the playoffs." I have some sound from Carl Kluck, defensive player for the Titans. Listen to this.
Does it mean something, though, to walk out there and know that not just that you're back and you're healthy, but this is a playoff game?
Yeah, definitely. That means a whole lot. It's been 7 years since we, you know, even gotten this opportunity. So just to have a chance to go out there and in a playoff game, it's going to feel good.
And I'm not saying overlook anyone, Sean. I'm not. But the Chiefs have so much more goal-wise because they've been there 4 out of 5 times in the last year, whereas I think the Titans are coming in, again, just a little bit satisfied with being there, whereas if the Chiefs lose this game, this season and this regime, the Alex Smith era, is kind of a failure, isn't it? Whereas if the Titans lose this game and it's one and out, you know what? There's something to build on for next year, and you can feel kind of positive about that.
Well, I think the Titans coming in with the right mentality. You know, they're kind of, betting house money. You know,
exactly.
There's some place they didn't expect themselves to be, and now they're going to make the best with it. And so what you know about their coach and stuff is he's going to coach them up. He's going to get them ready to prepare to play tough, hard-nosed football. You know, another team stadium, it's going to be a tough environment. They got to play it close to the vest. Try to be very not risky with the football, you know, all the things you need to do, and then hope they have a chance to win it at the end. That's what you hope if you're a Tennessee Titans coach.
I just feel with the Chiefs this year, and I haven't felt this in previous years, there really is an excuse, because you were surprised last year when Pittsburgh won. You're not going to be surprised by anyone coming with their best game in Arrowhead Stadium. It's not like they rolled all year. They were humbled in the middle of the year, said we can lose too, and we could lose looking really bad. And they figured it out. They're playing their best football. They feel good. They have an opponent they're superior to. And here you have this grand opportunity to go in and win a game and then get to a situation where if you win one football game, you could go to the AFC title. I know it starts on Saturday, but I just like the feeling of this team right now.
Yeah, I like the fact that we get to play first, too. Just get the playoffs rolling. We're the first game up, not sitting around watching anybody else play. The Chiefs.
You want DeMarcus Robinson to pull a Nile Davis, don't you?
I mean, I wouldn't mind that opening kickoff going back. I mean, I think that the entire season for the Chiefs have been a you know, playing really well to begin with, like you're saying, going to the bottom of the well, realizing, hey, if we don't play, nothing is given. Like, there is no gimmies in football. We're not going to be – no team's going to walk in here, and we're not going to go into the other stadium and just – somebody's going to lay down for us. You got to go take it. You got to take your victories. You got to take your wins. And I think that was probably one of the best lessons learned this year during the season, is that the Chiefs have to play like the Chiefs in order to win. No one's going to just hand over victories to them. And it's so much better to learn that during the season than to go 14-2 and have this air of expectation, and then you're down 14 points in the first playoff game.
That was the feeling that I was getting from the Philadelphia Eagles prior to Wentz falling. I felt that they're going to walk into this playoffs and feel like they're unbeatable. And that's the most dangerous way to be. I think Bill Belichick is one of those coaches out there who's found a way to continue to motivate his players despite success in the regular season. That's really hard to do.
Yeah, that's probably one of his greatest coaching attributes is the fact that he, I would say hands down, always has his team prepared to to play winning football. They don't always win. They make mistakes too. But as far as a mental aspect, when it comes to that mental game, I think they always come in with that mental edge, and then they have to, you know, bring that physicality, and they have to bring the skills and all that kind of stuff to the game. But from a mental edge, I think they always come kind of with that box already checked as far as the Patriots are concerned.
Well, those are your game storylines, the Chiefs and the Titans, 3:35 this Saturday night. When we come back on the Arrowhead Pride podcast, we'll discuss the X's and O's of this game, what to watch on the field. Don't go anywhere. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Arrowhead Pride podcast. Pete Sweeney here with the Barbershop. Former Chief Sean Barber, we're talking the Chiefs wild card weekend game against the Tennessee Titans coming at you this Saturday night, 3:35 p.m. from Arrowhead Stadium. We're getting into the X's and O's of this game. The Chiefs offense coming in at number 5 versus that Tennessee defense at number 13. Let's start with Matt Nagy and what he thinks of the Tennessee defense.
I'll tell you this. This defense that we're about to see, they're very physical, and they know that. That's one of their trademarks. And they were physical last year. They never gave up. They kept fighting, and then they win it at the end on the field goal. So our guys got to mentally be prepared to understand that, both mentally and physically, and we got to be able to withstand the test and start fast.
Alex Smith doubling down on Nagy's thoughts.
Yeah, they're good as a group in the sense you're not keying on one guy. I mean, they're all really good. They can all penetrate. They all get after the passer. They're all really disruptive. So, yeah, as a group, and certainly I think they take a lot of pride in that. I think you can see that on film. So, you know, another big test for us. Like I said, yeah, a lot of that starts with them up front and the pressure they get in the pass game and the run game.
Tennessee, number 5 at sacking the quarterback in the league. 12 different players for the Titans have at least one sack this year. They're led by Derek Morgan with 7.5 and Brian Arakpo with 7. Sean, when you think about what this Titans defense offers in quarterback pressure, what do you think about?
They do a lot of scheming. So it's two ways to pressure a quarterback. It's either you bring more from one side and I have the block, or you do creative things, TE stunts, ET stunts, bringing a linebacker a hat off of a corner. You do something from a technical standpoint, from a schematic standpoint, to take advantage of a combination block. The way Tennessee attacks is they come at you. They have their three guys up front that a lot of times they only bring three, and then they have a guy spy. It's not that complex of a rush. It's more of beating 1-on-1. They rely more on Morgan and Arakpo to just beat their 1-on-1s instead of trying to scheme ways to chip guys to come up with free and stuff like that. But they bring anybody. They will bring anybody. The defense is very similar to what we've seen in the history of the Pittsburgh Steelers defense, that, you know, LeBeau style defense, a lot of zone blitzing, a lot of zone schemes behind bringing some extra guys. So it's not a complicated defense. They just, you know, they cover on the backside and get to the quarterback real good.
For me, that emphasizes the offensive line for the Chiefs, because of the three units for Tennessee, you think their defense probably is their strongest. Yeah. So the offensive line is going to be huge in this game. And as you're saying, they bring pressure from all sides, from all different players. So even if you're a guard or center, I mean, the health of the Chiefs starting offensive line, I think, is going to be critical throughout the playoffs, but especially this game.
Especially, you know, in the quarterback position, when you look at his defense, you have to do a really good job of analyzing and determining whether you're seeing zone or man behind it. And they try to bring enough pressure and get the pressure to you before you can realize what you're seeing. And so some of it is like trap coverages, that where you run a zone on one side, a man on the other, hoping that you throw into a man side when it's really zone and they get a pick, or hoping you think you're throwing into a zone side and it's really man and they get a pass breakup. Those are the two things they do behind their blitz package. And it's all with intentions of getting the quarterback to throw the ball before he's ready.
Now, so, preventative-wise, of letting that exploit you, what is Alex Smith doing this week? Just a lot of film?
I think the film study. I mean, what you realize from those guys is that they are a young secondary. They have Dory Jackson's one of their starting corners. He's a first-round draft pick out of USC. He isn't as talented as a Marcus Peters, but he is a very quick, skilled athlete. He does a lot of things really well. He has great ball skills. but he's left in man coverage a lot. He's left in like a trail technique, and he just runs. He just runs and tries to be there when the ball. You can take advantage of that. You can take advantage of him with the double moves. You can take advantage of the defense as a whole. Kelce is going to be so big in the game as far as your tight end position being able to control the middle of the field. When you do a lot of trick coverages, when you're doing half and half, the middle of the field sometimes that's where all the holes are. That's where things aren't
crossing patterns for Kelce.
Things get a lot cloudier, a lot of gray areas left as far as who's supposed to cover who when you're talking about in between the hashes. So I see Alex Smith doing a lot of check downs to Hunt, a lot of crossing routes, a lot of targeting Kelce early on. I would see the offense just matriculating right down the field, getting us in scoring position.
Again, you mentioned Travis Kelce. Mike Mularkey, the head coach of the Titans, was asked about the Chiefs tight end this week, and listen to the fear in Mularkey's voice.
There'll be a couple guys that'll have their hands full with him. Again, based on who gets the assignment on the defensive call, but he is a handful to have to handle. And we got a number of guys we feel good about. I mean, I think Kevin Byard's going to have a day with him. So it's easier said than done covering this guy.
Let me give you a translation. Yeah, Travis Kelce's going to have 145 yards and probably two touchdowns, but hopefully Marcus Mariota in our offense can get three touchdowns.
Well, Kevin Byard, you know, he leads the league. He's had a great season, but most of his interceptions come off of just bad pass. I mean, it's not like he's his physical attributes is making him just a world beater at the safety position. He's not a ball hawk. He's just in the right place at the right times. A lot of times, a lot of balls been tipped balls or hit up in the air. It's a tough matchup with him and Kelce. Kelce is definitely a more polished receiver than he is a defender. And like I said, a lot of times in his zone blitz schemes, it's not always the best cover guy covering your guy. It's kind of like whoever just ends up covering, according to this blitz package, sometimes it's going to be an inside linebacker. Sometimes it might be a DN on Kelce. And so when you see those type matchups, I mean, we have to do what we have to do to really take advantage of when that mismatch happens.
Safety for the Titans, Kevin Byard, in his second season, tied for the league this year in interceptions with 8 after a rookie season with 0. Yeah. He was asked about the Chiefs offense this week.
Well, watching on film, you know, Alex Smith, he's a guy, he's like to get the ball out pretty quick, like to get the ball in his receiver's hands so they can make some shake with the ball. So Tyreek Hill, you know, Kelce, all those guys can make plays with the ball, so we're going to have to contain all those.
As you mentioned, as Byard mentioned, Travis Kelce, someone to watch, but he also mentioned Tyreek Hill, and from what he was saying this week, they're very aware that Tyreek Hill can take the top off of this defense. So preventative-wise on the tight side of the football, how do they make sure just a little bit of easing off Tyreek Hill a little bit?
The positive about the Chiefs is they're so balanced right now. You can't take away everything. You can't take the top off from Hill. You can't double Kelce and have an eighth man in the box against Hunt. You don't have enough defenders to do it all. So what you hope to do is get enough pressure in the passing game that it negates some of your strengths on offense. Hopefully you can't find the fact that Hill is running one-on-one with Adoree Jackson. Hopefully you can't find the fact that Kelce has been is running a bank 7 route against your safety, and now he's wide open. So you're hoping to bring pressure fast enough that it makes us just throw the ball to the flat, throw it to the quick, you know, throw it where they want you to throw it so they can rally and make a tackle. It's kind of a boom or bust type defense. And they give up a lot of long drives. They get up a lot of first downs, but they're very opportunistic. And so sometimes when the ball goes, you throw it a little early, it allows some of their ball hawks to actually make plays on the ball. And if you hold the ball, then obviously they have the ability to sack the quarterback at a high rate.
Now, all year we've been talking about this three-headed monster for the Chiefs. And you mentioned Hunt in a second, but so you have Travis Kelce, you have Tyreek Hill, and then the one thing the Chiefs didn't have last season against this Titans team that found a way to fight their way back into this game and win it ultimately was Kareem Hunt, who's the rushing NFL rushing champion this year as a rookie. Why does Hunt make a difference maybe that Spencer Ware didn't last year?
Well, you know, having a rushing game when it comes to, you know, people talk about the four-minute offense. Four-minute offense is when you get the ball, you got the lead in the second half, you're about 2 touchdowns, you're about 10 points. If you can get a rushing game that can actually grind out a couple first downs, that's how you demoralize the defense. It's not the pass. It's not when you go over the top two times and up by 14 because you hit them with some bomb passes, the defense isn't demoralized. But when you're rushing the ball for 5 yards a carry, breaking tackles, eluding rushers. They call the right defense, but because your running back is so elusive, he's making guys missing the hole and still hitting them for first down after first down. That's the drive that breaks the camel's back. That's the drive in the second half where the Tennessee Titans realize, all right, the game's over. Let's pack it up for the season.
Now, you know, you spoke a lot of football going over these X's and O's. I think translating it for someone who might be a casual fan, you tend to think the Chiefs just have too many weapons for them to reasonably lose this football game.
Definitely. It's too balanced. It's not even the amount of weapons. It's the fact that right now it's so balanced. You're seeing 200 yards passing. You're seeing 100 from Kelsey, 100 from the wide receivers. You're seeing Alex Smith being so efficient with the ball. Touchdown to turnover ratio is outstanding. Third down efficiency is outstanding. His completion quarter QBR rate. I mean, the way the offense is clicking right now, it has to just keep doing what it's been doing. Up front, being solid, not giving up immediate pressure, keeping that pocket nice and protected, allowing Alex Smith to step up. He keeps his eyes downfield. Alex, knowing the difference between being mobile and when he needs to run for a first down, I mean, he's making such smart decisions with the ball, and he's leading this offense. He's not just playing the quarterback position, but he's actually leading this offense. And I think that offense being it's the most balanced in the NFL this year, and that's why we have one of the top quarterbacks, one of the top tight ends, one of the leading rusher, and then a supporting cast, our second tight end, Harris is doing well. 12.
Albert Wilson's
doing well. It's so many X factors to just throw in there. It's very tough to stop an offense when you're playing that balanced.
So on the Chiefs offensive side of the football, we give the Chiefs offense the nod over the Titans defense, all led by Alex Smith, a quarterback who kind of is similar to Alex Smith is Marcus Mariota. He leaves his Tennessee offense at number 23 to face the Chiefs defense at number 28. First, let's start with what Bob Sutton thinks about this Tennessee offense.
They got a outstanding offensive line, two better tackles in our league, both run blocking and protection. They've done a really good job of protecting Marcus, I think, and allowing him time to throw the football. And you know, they're a team that can run the ball very effectively. They got a tough mindset. I think it's a reflection of the head coach, you know, who kind of grew up in that system as a tight end. Was there at Pittsburgh when they were a great running team and coaching. And, you know, it's very similar, you know, the way they attack you. And they're just a good team. You know, they've got obviously one of the one backs out, but Henry's still a legitimate player, big man, almost 250 pounds, and got an outstanding tight end. So they got plenty of weapons, and you know, we're gonna have to play a really, really good football game on defense.
You heard Bob mention it right there, the fact that DeMarco Murray likely to not play in this game. That's the vibe you're getting from the Tennessee locker room. Derrick Henry, the younger player, should be in there for the Titans. We'll get into that in a second, but I just want to go over what Mike Mularkey saw in the Chiefs defense this year, comparing it to last year.
It was interesting. I looked at my notes, team notes from a year ago when we played them on the 18th of December. They were 10-3, first place in the AFC. And the majority of the notes was about their turnovers and how they don't turn it over. And I mean, almost a spitting image of what I could have said this time was the same as last time. They create a lot of turnovers. They wreak havoc defensively. It's not any different this time around, except being a playoff game.
Sean, what jumps out to you about this matchup?
I mean, he speaks truth. It is the defense does play very similar. That's probably based off of the consistency at the coordinator, right? Bob has been here. The Sutton defense has been here for a number of seasons now, and they no matter how much the fan base and everybody asks for things to change, we want Peters to travel. We want to see more. We all these things we want to see.
Bob Sutton reminds me of, if you ever seen the movie A Beautiful Mind, John Nash. He's just like a little bit hunched over, but you can see there's so many things going on in that head. And yeah, there are times when the Chiefs struggle, but he always figures it out.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's not about the play calls, it's the players. He asks players to do things that they've done over and over and over again and do them at a higher level. This improve your technique a little bit. We're not going to have you doing things you haven't done before. We're going to keep doing the same things over and over again, because that's in defense, that's how you get good at stuff. You get really good at things on defense by doing it over and over again. So a lot of the techniques that our guys are doing, they've been doing since day one. And it's about players just taking the accountability of there's no magic call. There's no magic defense. You just have to be, you know, kind of ingrained in being a professional and doing your one-on-one, accepting your one-on-one challenge, and then defeating that guy and doing your responsibility every down, and every down.
Malarkey mentioned how similar the defense is to last year. But one major difference, I believe, and I've been saying this all year long, is now the Chiefs have a viable right cornerback on the other side in Darrell Revis, who has been getting more and more with the speed of the NFL game as the weeks go along. You saw it last week's game. He got in there, even though it was meaningless. He's still, I think, transitioning to getting back into NFL shape. But here was Bob Sutton on Darrell Revis.
I mean, it's pretty remarkable, really, what he has done, considering he had no camp, no nothing, and you know, he just dropped in here. And so and that's nothing to, about the technique or the football X and O part. It's just getting back in that kind of condition and that type of reaction time. And I think each and every week he's been out here, he's got better from that regard. You know, he's a great technician throughout his entire career. And I think that's starting to come back, you know, little by little each week here. So, you know, hopefully he's another guy that keeps ascending right now.
Revis, Peters, Justin Houston, the entire Chiefs defense will be in charge of getting after Marcus Mariota. But the thing that may concern me, if anything, is the Chiefs do tend to struggle sometimes with these mobile quarterbacks. You saw them struggle with Taylor, Tyrod Taylor, Dak Prescott, Mariota a little bit last year. Jameis Winston comes to mind a little bit. Any worry of that for you?
Not really. I mean, I see the mobile quarterback is some, you know, everybody struggles with a mobile quarterback because it's you don't account for it. You never account for the quarterback running. You count for him to throw the ball or to hand it off. And so they might get a few first downs off the mobility of Mariota. But long term, for the game as a whole, if he's running the ball, then that's a plus for our. If he's not throwing the ball and getting double chunks, throwing the ball, completing passes or handing it off to that big running back.
Yeah, I think he's similar to Alex Smith in a way where he's always looking to pass the football and only runs if the play breaks and he sees an open lane.
Yeah, he's a good quarterback. I mean, just his turnover ratio has really been up this year as opposed to
he had a nasty stiff arm last week on a play to win the game. Did you see that play?
That was pretty good.
Against the Jacksonville Jaguars, a real, real good play where obviously the play broke down. He needed to get the first down. You know, he dashes and you know, jukes left to right, makes a lot of Jaguars miss, and gets right into the open field. The Jaguars about to tackle him, stiff arms him, and, you know, then tells him about it. Mariota looked like the old Mariota last game. If there was ever something to make you worry, like a little bit, he rushed for 60 yards, had a good day throwing the football. They got the win. That's my only thing, but if the only thing the Chiefs have to worry about is Mariota being mobile, I think you're right. I think they're in good shape.
Yeah, that's the last thing we need to be worried about as far as him winning the ball based off his mobility as far as the whole game is concerned. You know, he'll keep some drives going using his legs, but you got to play him top down. You have to do what you do on the back end. Their receivers don't really scare you, but they can have you know. Rashad, he can have a big game every once in a while, but the receivers are just they are who they are. They're not great receivers. They're above average. They can make plays, but it's their rushing game and controlling the ball, the time of possession, keeping your offense off the field, and their defense giving their offense a short field. That's where they really come alive, is when they get a sack. Strip fumble, or they get an interception from Bird, and they now only have 40 yards to go to score. When you have the 80 yards,
quick strike type.
When you get them down to their own 20, and you get them, and they have to go 80 yards. Rarely they can go, you know, 8 play drives or sustained drives for long yardage. They usually, you know, get 1-2 first downs. They punt the ball, then they play solid defense and try to get their offense back the ball. They call it turning the field.
Yeah. So, I think through the air, your players to watch are Rishard Matthews, who you mentioned. That's a favorite target of Mariota. Delanie Walker, he seems like he has the athleticism of Travis Kelce, just isn't as quick and obviously just not as good of a player, but he's still pretty good. So Delanie Walker is another player to watch. Eric Decker, a wide receiver who's well-known, I think, league-wide. It's just a name you've seen a lot. He had 3 drops last week. He'll be looking to rebound from that. But in the run game, again, we mentioned DeMarco Murray has a slight MCL tear from week 16. Unlikely that he goes, so it's Derrick Henry. Kind of a breakout season, 176 carries for 744 yards. I'd imagine next season he's going to be the guy in Tennessee. Well, they'll get away from DeMarco Murray. Listen to what Derek Johnson had to say on the Titans offense and stopping this run.
You know what? Their offense is a young offense, very explosive when it comes to running the ball. They can really run the ball and stick with the run. They give you a lot of different formations, man, with the lineman tackle over. I mean, it's a lot of things that they possess just to get you a little confused. Then they run the ball right at you, and they have some pretty good running backs. One of their running backs is bigger than, you know, all the linebackers. So that's, that tells you their mindset. But what we need to do is match it early in the game, mindset-wise. The toughness of their team, we're pretty tough too. So on Saturday at 3, it's going to be a great match.
Sounds like the keys for the Chiefs are Mariota, Walker, and Henry. If you can stop Henry, it seems like the Chiefs defense can still win the football game.
Definitely. Derrick Henry is not the type of running back that I'm worried about as far as the Chiefs defense. Our defense kind of the patient runner, the more shifty, crafty, Bell, White from New England, those type of running backs seem to cause us more problems because we do such a great job of penetrating and staying our gaps. That when you stretch a defense and then you can cut back on it, or you have enough patience to wait for somebody to get out of a gap, that's when we get hurt as a defense. But when it's just big running backs coming downhill at us, our front, our linebackers have done a great job in that front seven of really creating a brick wall almost.
Reggie Ragland, honestly, could be like the move of the year.
Yeah, I like him. That 59 is not only it wasn't only my number. He's doing such justice with that number right now. That's probably one of the best moves we made on defense, is getting that guy in a lot more playing time.
You happy Reggie's wearing your number?
Oh yeah, I mean that's gonna be the Bama versus Bama, right? with him against Henry. Some of those old practice days of Derrick Henry versus Reggie Ragland. We'll see how it used to go down back in those old Bama days.
Yeah, no, I think Reggie Ragland's done a tremendous job. If there was one thing the Chiefs were pretty weak at, you know, in the middle of the year, was stopping this run. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, it's the type of thing where you can take the Titans out of this game early if you have two or three three and outs at the beginning. Because, like we were saying earlier, I think the Chiefs' offense is better, and I think they can score in this Titans' defense. So if you jump out to a 10, 14, 17-point lead early, I think this game could be over. That said, this Titans team came back from 14-0 last year, so you still have to play through the game.
Yeah.
And I think, again, going back to the similar theme of what we've been saying, I think the Chiefs are in a place mentally where they finally realize, you know, we can't screw around. You know, we can't screw around with these games. Playoff life is so precious. We have to step in their throat, and I think if they take that approach, they'll win the football game.
Yeah, I think each drive, you have to have a goal of putting together some first downs and then going to get touchdowns. That should be your goal. Every time the offense get the ball, if you're the Chiefs, you start off thinking about getting one or two first downs. And then once you get that momentum, it has to be a touchdown. You know, you're not satisfied with settling for field goals or punting the ball. First down, this thing's touchdown.
Last point, most important defensive player, or I'll give you two or three if you want to say, but most important defensive players for the Chiefs this game.
For the Chiefs, it's going to be my man Reggie Ragland. It's the running game. If you can't stop the Tennessee Titans from running the ball downhill, that's how they set up Mariota on his – bootlegs and all his play action, ROPs, whatever you want to call them, the RPOs, run pass options. All that kind of stuff is set off with the running game. And from a mental standpoint, their head coach, their offense coordinator, their offensive line, everybody on the Titans bus know that they have to run the ball in order to be effective. And if you take that away from them, then they'll start throwing the ball around. They start doing some things that are out of character, and that's what's led, you know, that losing streak for them. That's what led to those losses back to back to back. They kind of got away from what their mantra is, and they started to throw the ball a little bit more. And you know, those turnovers, it bites them in the butt. Sometimes it costs them. That's not their game. So we get them out their game early, mostly by us scoring on offense, get a 10, 15, 14 point lead. And then we start playing some really locked down defense.
Don't ruin the prediction segment. We'll get into predictions when we come back. We'll also read your tweets. This is the Arrowhead Pride Podcast. Don't go anywhere. Welcome back to the Arrowhead Pride Podcast. It's the Chiefs and Titans wildcard weekend, Arrowhead Stadium. The barbecues will be out. I'm sure it's going to smell great at Arrowhead Stadium. We are talking predictions for this game, playoff predictions. Joel's not here today. As always, we'll start with Sean.
All right, this one's going to cook up to be a good one on Saturday. It's going to be a nice cold weather, nice crisp weather, but the barbecue's going to be hot. So I think the Chiefs are going to start out with another 14-0 lead. Two more field goals. We're going to take a 20-10 lead at halftime against the Titans. And then in the second half, I see three kicker field goals. Good. 29-20. The Chiefs move on to the next round.
You know, Sean, a few people that enjoy a butt kicker field goal like you enjoy a butt kicker field goal.
He's the man, man. That's my guy.
I think this game has the buildup of a potential for a Chiefs stomping of the Titans. But that is not, like, Chiefs enough for what's going to happen. I think they go out and get off to a quick start. I think maybe it's a 14-10-point lead to begin the game. But I think the Titans fight their way back, and it's a dogfight in the third quarter. And then in the fourth quarter, again, the Chiefs wind up pulling away. I think it's a 28-17 win for the Kansas City Chiefs on Saturday. Chiefs moving on to the divisional round of the NFL playoffs. Mr. Seth.
I thought about this game a lot, although I've been kind of distracted, burying my head in Patrick Mahomes making stupid throws film. And by stupid, I mean that in, like, you know, the way the kids say, like, good.
Oh, stupid. Oh, not only are you working out for the new year, you're using all kinds of terminology. I'm thinking you're a lot cooler this year already.
I'm down or whatever it is. Yeah, you know what? I'm old. I need to get over it. Anyway, I think the Chiefs are going to win this one going away. I've looked at the Titans a little bit, and you know, obviously we've seen a Chiefs team show up that's very capable of losing to the Titans, but not lately. What's gotten lost in all the Patrick Mahomes furor is that the Chiefs closed the season winning four in a row, and they're playing well enough that Mahomes was a big part of it, but their backups beat a lot of Denver starters, and that's where they're at right now. And so I think the Chiefs win this one 16. I think the Titans are able to get some field goals and move the ball a little bit, but that's about it. I think the Chiefs are comfortable throughout most of the game. They kind of kick it into, you know, cruise control the last quarter and a half. But I think the Chiefs take this one and then get a shot at redemption against either the Steelers or the Patriots.
Three Chiefs pickers for this Saturday. That's three people thinking the Chiefs move on. Those are your predictions for this game. Seth, we're counting on you right now. We need some playoff advice for the Arrowhead Prideheads.
Playoff advice for the Arrowhead Prideheads? I actually have very good advice. You know, and this is going to come out bad, maybe a little preachy.
Preach.
But, you know, I was looking at, you know, the Chiefs announced that Phillip Gaines went on injured reserve, and the replies to that made me really sad. And I guess here's the advice I would give fans. If you want players to show loyalty towards the team, maybe don't chortle when someone gets hurt. Maybe don't act like you're glad about it, because I can't imagine being a player that sees one of my friends getting mocked openly and then having a fan base say to me, well, you should be loyal. It's like, well, I don't know about all that. So there's my advice. Be nice.
I agree. And hopefully when you look at Twitter, it's only a small percentage of Chiefs fans, but sometimes the smallest percentage is the loudest when it comes to these things.
Quite true, the squeaky wheel, as it were.
Well, he is Seth Kaiser. You can find his work at RealMN. Chiefs fan, did a lot of good Patrick Mahomes work this week. But we're not going to talk about Patrick Mahomes anymore until about 4 or 5 weeks from now, after the Chiefs run their Super Bowl parade down power and light. Right?
Amen.
All right, Seth, take care.
Take care, guys.
All right, that's Seth Kaiser. Really good work. Find it on arrowheadpride.com or at RealMN Chiefs fan on Twitter. Now, we're going to read some tweets, and we'll call it a show. First tweet comes from Matt Viola at Devin Travis, 29. What are your thoughts on Parker Enger's game, and does he start at left guard this week, or do we ride the horses that got us there? Thanks. I think this answer's easy. Go ahead, Sean.
Yeah, we stay with who got us there. Like, no changes. If it ain't broke, don't try to fix it. The offense has been looking great the last few weeks. Keep the same guy calling plays. Keep the same guy throwing the ball, same guy running the ball. No need to change the tight end position or the wide receivers. We got the horses that we rode here, and we're going to keep riding them on to the next round of the playoffs.
I know Parker Anger has started games before, and he had the injury, and it's unfortunate. But to this year, it seemed a little bit more like a redshirt year. It's a get-back-to-yourself type of year, and I think he'll be here in training camp. I think you look to Parker Anger perhaps next year, but you got to ride with the guys you had. And the Chiefs' offensive line has been playing a lot better, and I think that's why you saw the four-game winning streak, and you stick with those guys moving forward. Aaron Elder. At AElder027, who's better, the 2016 Chiefs or the 2017 Chiefs?
Oh, 2017 Chiefs. Easy. It's the offensive balance that we're seeing right now is it hasn't been seen in I don't know how many years. Like it's amazing to see a team that has that many weapons and all of them be able to perform each week and to see the drafts we're putting together. The only Achilles heel of our offense right now is the red zone. Our red zone offense has kind of struggled a little bit. And once we get into the red zone, we kind of stall out a little bit. But that's been one man's trash, another man's treasure. So Bud Kicker has been hitting a phenomenal amount of field goals because we've struggled in the red zone. So we end up with points almost every drive. So that, it's a great thing going on now. So I would say the 2017 defense. I mean, 2017 Chiefs.
Yeah, I got to say the 2017 Chiefs. Just seeing, as you're saying, more balance. There's a lot more weapons. Tyreek Hill in 2016 was more of a specialist where he's really developed as, you can't even argue this, I think, anymore, one of the elite wide receivers in the NFL, and you have the rushing champ when, again, Spencer Ware is great, and he did a great job last year, but he maybe isn't the long-term answer when this kid just won the rushing title. The defense has kind of been shored up. You don't have Eric Berry, which is a huge loss, but the fact that he's providing that emotional boost, you know, these past few weeks, I'm sure throughout the playoffs will help. You got to think the 2017 Chiefs are better and they have a better chance. There's just a better feel this year going into the postseason. Michael Howard at Michael M. USEA. Chiefs win or lose if Kareem gets 75 total yards from scrimmage?
Oh, 75 total yards from Kareem, we still win.
Yeah, because he can get 75 passing or receiving yards as well.
Yeah, I think he was saying if it's total. Is he talking about total scrimmage? If he's talking about total.
Wait a minute. You're right. It said, if a Kareem only gets 75 total yards from scrimmage, I misread it, will the Chiefs win or lose?
I think we'll still win.
Because the Titans stick.
I don't think they can stop Kelsey. I don't think they can stop Hill. I think Robinson is still between him and Albert. They'll between the two of them, have a good game. Our passing offense can dominate this team through the air. I don't think their secondary matches up well against us. So if Kareem Hunt doesn't have a big game, a great game, that just means other guys have really took off.
This is a complete hypothetical scenario, so it's hard to judge. It would worry me a little bit if Kareem Hunt would only get 75 total yards from scrimmage because I think they're going to want to involve him on Saturday. But with that said, I think even if he has a tough game, Chiefs offensive line is having a tough game. I think the Chiefs could still manage to win. It'll be a lot closer than the blowouts we predicted, but I think the Chiefs can still manage to win. Jack Weber at Jack Weber TX. Last year we lost to Tennessee while going 1 of 4 in the red zone, only giving Ty the ball once, and Andy giving Suck up 2 field goal attempts on the winner. What would it take for us to lose?
Turnover, -3 in turnovers.
I think silly mistakes.
Yeah, -3 turnover ratio.
I think the Chiefs lose on Saturday, it's going to be the Chiefs beating themselves. I know a lot of times you're like, oh, well, the other team has to win, do things like that. If the Chiefs, there are games when you can beat yourself, whereas you throw a stupid pass and it's intercepted and it goes for 6 and then all of a sudden you're down 14, your offensive game plan changes, that type of game where the Chiefs are making mistakes, fumbles. You know, you saw Kareem Hunt fumble that football, hasn't really done it in a long time. I think if you avoid silly mental mistakes, nothing to worry about in this one. Troy Kaufman at Troy Kaufman. Will we bring constant pressure on Mariota? What's the chances of Wilson's return next year? Okay, let's start with, there's 2 questions here. Will we bring constant pressure on Mariota? I expect to see that.
I just think you have to be careful with bringing pressure on a quarterback that mobile because, I mean, obviously, from a defense standpoint, when you bring pressure, you're giving up something. Like, you can't bring pressure and cover as good as you can. So you give up something to bring that extra pressure. So more of a spy technique, you know, bringing guys off the edges, pushing pressure up the middle, but also having a guy as a whole player, like a rat player, who kind of spies the quarterback and just be there in case he does scrambling. That probably works more so than just bringing that extra guy off the edge. And then the second part of the question was,
What are the chances you see Albert Wilson return next year?
I like Albert Wilson. I think that he has a role in his offense. I think he does a lot of good things well. I think he has a certain chemistry. We found out a week ago with Mahomes. So he's kind of as a receiver, more of a safety net.
Albert Wilson is an unrestricted free agent. I think he may get the opportunity to be paid, you know, like a number two, number three receiver. I also think he'll want to be here, though. So if the Chiefs can come to an agreement where both parties kind of get what they want, I think you see Albert Wilson back. But he proved, you know what, and I sort of was writing him off in training camp. I didn't know if he'd be on the team, and he's proven, you know, he's a great role player in the National Football League. So I think it's definitely a guy you want to consider bringing back for next season. Justin, at T-E-U-F-E-L 9191. Has Spencer Ware become trade bait or a cut casualty moving the next year?
I mean, he's coming back off an injury, so I don't know what kind of trade value you have for a guy coming off injury. I think that he probably needs to stay here and prove that he's healthy again. Usually when you come off of an injury, it's a very tough market anyway to trade from team to team. But when especially coming back off of injury, man, it's very hard to get another organization to have as much faith in you than your own organization does.
So. You saw Jamaal Charles struggle with that.
Yeah. And especially as a running back, I mean, the not having the film, not having the ability to show that you actually are cutting and breaking tackles and can do everything you was before that hurt.
And these questions, for what it's worth, are a little bit more difficult given the fact that Brett Veach does things a little bit differently than John Dorsey. We haven't really seen him in these offseason decisions quite yet. Will he just walk away from a player who's injured? We don't really know what his mentality is with this stuff. I like to see Spencer Ware back at least like in a training camp trial role to see where he's at. I think him and Kareem Hunt, and you know, then maybe has Charcandrick West as a three. Akeem Hunt somehow fits in there. He just got injured. You know, it's an interesting question, but that's all next year. We're talking about this year. We may have four games left. You never know. So we'll see what ends up happening with Spencer Ware. Last question from Great Googly Moogly at Mutiny 32. What is your favorite date idea?
Great Googly Moogly. My favorite date idea. Oh Lord. Let's go down to the they have a new restaurant, not a new one, but a new location. The Red Door Grill. Their food there is awesome. They have a great image of Buck O'Neill and some other famous Lynn Dawson, and it's a great I'll put it on the Facebook so we can see it. It's a great foursome of Kansas City legends.
You want to get out your phone?
No, I said I'm going to put it up on the Facebook. It's a great atmosphere. If you haven't been to the Red Grill, I think it's at 159th and Antioch in that new Blue Hawk area. So,
great date idea. I gave you a great idea at the beginning of the show. Chiefs tickets for Saturday are cheaper than usual. You can take baby girl or baby boy to a Chiefs game. I'm looking right now, high of 35, low of 29. That's a little cold. You know, sometimes you need the body heat. You know, you hold hands a little bit, get close. A little hot chocolate. You know what? Share a nice kiss after the Chiefs win. Start 2018 the right way. But, Sean, that's it.
That's it, buddy.
I think we're ready. Ready for some Chiefs football, some Chiefs playoff football.
Already. I got my picture right here to show everybody.
All right, Sean, are we ready to close the show?
Oh, yeah.
Any final words for the Pride Heads before we go?
Oh, if you don't got your ticket, you got a few days left, get your ticket, get the Arrowhead, plan something with your friends, come out there early, let's barbecue it up, let's get all that steam or brewing. All them, but the barbecue, the burn-ins, the baby backs, let's get it going. Let's get that meat smoking, the mac and cheese and all the sides going. Let's just have a good old-fashioned cookout before we take care of those Titans on Saturday. Root your team on. Be part of this playoff run.
Unless the Bills somehow continue their miracle journey, this is the last game at Arrowhead Stadium all season. So get out there, enjoy it. It's the first time the Chiefs are trying to win a home playoff game in 23 years, breaking all kinds of boundaries with Andy Reid as the head coach. It's the Chiefs and the Titans this Saturday afternoon. Not going. Sean McDonough, John Gruden on the call. If you are going, have a great time. Tell us how it is. Mention us at Arrowhead Pride on Twitter. I'm at PG Sweeney. He's at Sean Barber 59 for Sean Barber. I'm Pete Sweeney. Enjoy the game this Saturday.